Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's first broadcast on this television station. It is such an honor for me to be on the air with you guys here at TKC, and I believe that this message will impact a lot of people, the message of God's unconditional love. Like I said, I'm Bertie Brits. My ministry's name is Dynamic Love Ministries. As the name says, we talk about the dynamics of the love of God. So many times we think that the love of God is not powerful, but this ministry is there to proclaim and explain the dynamics of the love of God. The most powerful message that there is in this world is the message of God's unconditional love for man. And that is what we want to minister and proclaim in this world. We do this via television, like on this station. We also broadcast on Kruiskyk in Afrikaans. And we will, I believe that in the future to come, we will be on more stations and we will just spread the gospel through television. Then we also have got a very powerful website where we've got all our messages uploaded, and through this website we spread the gospel all over the world. So if you want to get a hold of this message, by the time you listen to this, this will already have been uploaded onto our website, and you can go and download this from our website. Under Wordwell, you can go there and listen to this, get this for free from there. So we want to spread the gospel that way. We've also got an internet church. If you've got broadband internet, you can join us on Sundays in our internet church. What we do is we've got a live broadcast every Sunday via the web. On our website, you just go to Sunday Broadcast, and that's how we preach, and we've got members from all over the world watching this, and that's part of this. We also upload those messages into the archives, and a lot of people slot into those messages and get those messages on Wednesdays and listen to it. So we've got an internet church. That's also how we preach it. Then we do gospel crusades. We also do crusades in tents, open-air crusades, and in that way we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in South Africa and also Zambia and neighboring countries. We also do leadership conferences. In these leadership conferences, I come and equip people with this message of grace, helping people to transition from a law-based church to a grace-based church, to get people from a mentality that says, you know, it is by your own works, to a mentality that says, by what Jesus Christ has done, and to see that the power of that manifesting in that church. Sometimes it's difficult to do that. People don't know how to do that. And that's why we've got these leadership conferences. We also have leadership conferences simply just to equip the body of Christ with this message of grace, you know, in areas where we get a lot of churches together, leaders come together, and we minister to them in the love of God. Also teaching people how to walk in the true power of God when it comes to signs, wonders, and miracles. You can also go on my website and look at some of the miracles that happen in these crusades. So, you know, and be encouraged by that. Well, that's more or less Dynamic Love Ministries. I'm married to a beautiful lady, Elena Brits. She's, we're married now for 14 years. We've got 3 boys. And man, we just enjoy this message of God's unconditional love. Now, you might have heard that I mention the love of God all the time. And you might say, but Bertie, why are you talking so much about the love of God? You know, there was a time in my life when I was really, when I was living and having this life of, by what I do, I become. And then one day, I realized that this thing was really bogging me down and making me tired and getting me to a place where I am not who I am supposed to be, where I became hypocritical, where I became tired, where I felt that I will never reach the level of holiness that is set by the Word of God. And I became tired. And what was actually happening was I fell under a law mentality, a works mentality, seeking justification by what I do. And a man with a name, Ed Elliott, at that time living in Rustenburg, that's about 12 years ago, came and he shared the message of God's unconditional love with me and what it is when it comes to the cross of Jesus Christ and the impact the cross of Jesus has upon us. He talked to me for about 2 hours. It impacted my life so powerfully that it meant it just changed me. It put me the right side up. It brought life to me. And from that day on, I want to just say it this way. I never had a time when I felt down spiritually. I never had a time when I felt, oh God, you know, why are you so far from me? I never felt that I'm not approved of God. I felt that God loves me, cares for me. I felt righteous. I felt close to God. God is close to me. I felt that God is not just this God that's far from me, that's just there in the heavens looking at what I do, just having this book, checking what's right and what's wrong. You know, did I attend church, right or wrong? And then he'll make a mark. You know, did I pay my tithe, right or wrong? I found that God was this God of love, somebody that's got such a powerful, loving personality that brings this life to me, and it started to rub off on me. And I found, man, Christianity is easy. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to have a holy life. It's easy to love people. It's easy to spread the gospel. It's easy to pray. It's easy to have a relationship with God. Amen. And from that perspective, I started to realize and discover more of who God is. And that's why I want to talk about the love of God. The Love Way, the name of this program and this program, is a program that is designed to get you to understand this and to get into a deep revelation of this unconditional love of God, which is the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe that the cross is supposed to be the center of every teaching and every doctrine we preach. If we want to teach on marriage, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what He did on our behalf should be the center of that. And I want to just read a scripture to explain to you in short what the foundation of this program is. And we can go and read that in Romans chapter 5. Verse 19, it says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." I want to read from verse 17. "For if by one man's obedience death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Hallelujah. So the gospel is taken in this, and I want to just explain the gospel in short to you. And that is supposed to be the center point of every teaching we teach. Be it the teaching on finances, be it the teaching on how to run your church, be it a teaching on how to select leadership, be it a teaching on how to have victory over sin, be it a teaching on heaven and hell. Doesn't matter what, this is supposed to be the foundation of everything. This is supposed to be the foundation of the message when we preach to the lost. It's the foundation of the message when we teach our leaders. It's the foundation of everything, and I believe it should be play a vital role in every teaching. It can't just say, well, that is our foundation, and we know that's the foundation, but we teach other things. No, this is the gospel. Amen. And the gospel is this. One man, Adam, brought sin into the world. How many people did it take to bring sin into the world? Only one. When Adam sinned, then sin was introduced into the world, and through the offense of one, judgment came unto all, and guilt came unto all. Listen to this, verse 17. "For as by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace." Verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification." The beginning of verse 18 again. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men." So, one man offended, and his name was Adam, and judgment came upon all men. And through one man, the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. So, all people were made sinners by the offense of one man. So when Adam disobeyed the Father, what happened? All became sinners before God. That's what happened because of the disobedience of one. So many times I say, you know, when Adam lived in heaven, you know, and when he's in heaven, he has got a separate house from the rest of the people, because if the church could get a hold of him in heaven, you know, they're going to beat him up, saying, you know, Adam, look at how we suffered because of you. Now, I've got good news for you. God is a just God. And if he would allow one man to bring sin into the world, he will also allow one man to make the many sinners righteous through one act of obedience, and that is that he obeyed on our behalf. He obeyed the whole law on our behalf. He died on our behalf. He was resurrected on our behalf. He sits at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, where he represents us and where he is our intercessor forevermore. Hallelujah. And that is God's reality about you. And we should make that real in our lives when it comes to our relationship with God. It's real. It's not a fake thing. God is not saying, well, yeah, Jesus died for you, but that's long ago. Let's deal with reality. And that reality is your sins in your life. That is not reality. God's reality is Christ Jesus on your behalf, seated next to him forevermore. God's reality on your behalf is that one man made you a sinner, and through the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, you were made righteous. That's the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this program, The Love Way, we are taking that reality and we apply that to every area of life. We apply it to the teaching of faith. We apply it to the teaching of hope. We apply it to the teaching of righteousness. We apply it to the teaching of to be a conqueror, to rule. All those type of things. We apply that simple truth, because that is the crux of the gospel. This is the gospel. There was a man that represented us. His name was Adam. He sinned and caused all men to become sinners because of his sin. Then there was another man called the last Adam. His name is Jesus Christ. He came and he became a human being representing us. He obeyed the whole law on your behalf so that you will not have to be made righteous by your own obedience, but that you can be made righteous by the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Moses. Now, that's just a nicer way of saying it, but the law is you are righteous by your obedience. But the gospel of Christ is you are righteous by the obedience of Jesus Christ on your behalf. He died on you, he obeyed on your behalf. He died on your behalf. He carried your sins on your behalf. He took the punishment for sin on your behalf. He was resurrected on your behalf. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in human form, in glorified human body, where he represents you forevermore. That's why you, when you believe in Christ, you've got access into the grace of God, and you will be righteous forevermore because of Christ. Because of Jesus. That is the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is the whole gospel. That is the beginning and the end. That's the fullness of the gospel. And let no man add unto it. This is it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You might say Baptist, but that is such a simple thing. Look how thick the Bible is. Let me tell you, this whole Bible, every verse, every scripture here is correctly interpreted, points to this. What Jesus has done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. The way unto righteousness is Jesus and what he's done for us. The way unto prosperity is Jesus and what he's done for us. The way unto healing is Jesus and what he's done for us. The way unto holiness is Jesus and what he's done for us. Amen. And the more we behold who he is and what he's done, the better for us. The gospel, like I said in the introduction, the gospel is not about what you must do for God. The message of the cross is not about what you must do for God. The law in the Old Testament was about what man must do in order to be righteous before God. But it even pointed to Christ. So if you read a law in the Old Testament that says, you know, you must do this to be righteous before God, it points to Jesus. It was actually for Jesus to obey on our behalf so that man could become righteous before God. Hallelujah. We easily accept and say, well, you know, yeah, through Adam we became sinners, and we accept that. man for a fact. And we don't argue about that. There's no dispute about that. That's what we believe. But why can't we as easily accept the simple message that says, through the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, we became righteous before God? Amen. And we are not counted as sinners anymore. We are counted as righteous. We are counted as holy. We became the very righteousness of God. And that was a gift given unto you. It's a gift. You cannot be righteous in any other way. You're either righteous as a gift. Before God, you receive the righteousness as a gift. Or you will never be righteous before God. That's just the way it is. And that is the simplicity of the gospel. This Bible is not there to be read to see what we must do for God. It's there to be read to see what God has done for us. This Bible is not there to see how much we must love God. It's there to be read and to see how much God loves us. And once you get a revelation of how much God loves you, of how much God has done for you, you will find that love just flows out of you for God. Love just flows out of you for your neighbor. You find obedience and the nature of God just flows out of you as a fruit of the gospel and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Just say amen there in your house. Say amen. That is the truth. Hallelujah. Because that is what it is. And you know what? This gospel is for you. So many times when we read the Bible, and we study the Bible, we do it from a perspective to see, oh my God, what must I do for you? And when we read it, we feel condemned, we feel judged, we feel that we don't qualify, and then we try to do 10 things to make up. You know? So many times we pray and we close to God and we feel good because we've gone to church and we're faithful and we've ministered the gospel to somebody. I've blessed somebody with money. I live a good life. Then you feel close to God. But the moment you sin and do something horribly wrong, you don't pray for 3 days because you feel so guilty. And after a while, once you've handled this and got used to the guilt and you felt, well, you've been punished now long enough because you felt guilty long enough, then you'll go and pray again. Man, that is not what God intended for you and me. Does Jesus ever feel where he sits at the right hand of the Father that he cannot talk to God? He never feels that. That's why you never have to feel like that. Hallelujah. That's what God has done for you. Have been made qualified by Jesus Christ. Amen. Our qualification is not of ourselves, but it is of Him. It is not of ourselves. Colossians says it so well. It says that He has made us qualified. He has made us qualified to be co-heirs with Christ. He has qualified us. That word qualify also means to set up. You know, to set us up for blessing or to bring us into season. He has brought us into the season of blessing. It's not by your efforts. It's not by what you do for God that impresses God. There's only one thing that impresses God, and that's Jesus. And if you're in Christ, you are impressive to God. If you're not in Him, doesn't matter what holy thing you've done, if you've got 500 churches, if you raise the dead, if you whatever you do, it means nothing. It means nothing. That's what the Bible says. Let's read it quickly. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If you can speak in tongues, in other words, and you don't have love. Now that love is not just love for people. That love is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The true understanding of love. Because the Bible says God is love. If you don't have the revelation of God, of who He truly is, of that, and if that tongues and everything does not come as a fruit of a revelation of the unconditional love of God, the Bible says, hearing His love, that He gave His Son. In other words, if you speak in tongues, but it's not from the revelation that He gave His Son, that I'm righteous before God, I'm holy before God, free from my works, free from my obedience to Scriptures, free from all those type of things. And when I say obedience to Scriptures, I'm not talking about the Scripture, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the law. Free from my obedience to laws to be justified before God. Because Jesus Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness. forevermore. Once you've believed in Jesus, you've reached the end of the law. There was the end of the law. The last commandment is, believe on Jesus and you'll be righteous. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been made the righteousness of God. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. You don't have to feel that you're a sinner anymore. You don't have to say, I'm not qualified before God. You don't have to say all those negative things about yourself. You can walk, stand up straight and say, well, I live in South Africa. I live in the wherever country you pick up the signal. I live here. I am the righteousness of God. I am the holiness of God. For that is what He has given unto me. Amen. It says, as though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. So what determines who you are is if you have love or not. And that is not love towards your neighbor. That is the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, herein is the love of God manifested towards us, that He gave His Son so that we might live through His Son. If you have that love, which is God, which is Jesus, if you have that love, that's what makes you something. What makes you something in the eyes of God is, are you in Christ? Have you believed on what He's done for you? Amen. That is the gospel. That's a true message of God's unconditional love for you. I want to just read a scripture about how much God loves us in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that shows your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. Hallelujah. How does Jesus Christ produce or provide leadership to us? Not by domineering, but by cherishing. Hallelujah. We must find that, you know, so many times we've taken our culture and we've put it into our belief and our religion. We cannot do that. Don't preach your culture. Let's preach the gospel. You know, so many times, you know, you find this husband, he's a strong husband, he dominates, you know. And then we want to find scriptures to prove that. Listen, that's not how Christ rules over the church. The Bible says, let's not rule like the Gentiles, which lorded over each other. We're not there to lord over each other, because Christ does not try and lord over us and dominate us. He cherishes us. The way He leads us is by cherishing us, and He cherishes us and puts value upon us, and that value works in our hearts, and that draws us to Him. Amen. And if the gospel we hear is not a gospel that makes us feel cherished, it will not have the power that draws us to Him. Okay? So just as the church submits to Christ as He exercises us leadership, why should likewise submit to their husbands? Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did to the church. How did He love us? A love marked by giving and not getting. Amen. So the love of Jesus, the way God lives towards us, is not to see what He can get out of us. It's not to see how much obedience He can get out of you. It's not to see how much faithfulness you have every week. It's not to see, that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is all about, how can He get you to receive more for free from Him? His gospel is marked with, how can He see, how much can He get you to believe in His unconditional love? The gospel is supposed to be earmarked by this, the message that is not about what God can get from you, but what you can get from God. And how He gives it to you. When you wake up in the morning, God's number one thing through the Holy Spirit is, can I remind you more of what He has freely received in Christ? That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Because it's comforting to hear what you have freely received in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says the Holy Spirit is there to remind us of what we have freely received in Christ. Amen. Not to remind us of what we haven't done for God. Hallelujah. God loves us, man. And He wants to remind you of what you have freely received. Because if you don't walk in victory, it's because you don't make use of what you have freely received. That's why He reminds you of what you have freely received. And when you receive that by faith, you find that power comes into your life, grace comes into your life, and you walk in the true victory of God. Amen. Let's continue. Christ's love makes the church whole. People, let's never speak against the love of God message. Let's never speak against the grace of God and the mercy of God. For that is what makes the church whole. Never think, what is this greasy grace message? This sloppy agape type of abuse, the goodness of God, license to sin type of grace message. Never call the grace of God a license to sin. I believe it's blasphemy. Let's open our hearts to the love of God, the message of how much He loved us. How much did He love us? He loved us so much that He came and justified the ungodly. He loved us so much that He in the right time paid for sinners, so the sinners could be called righteous. Not so the sinners stopped to sin, and because they stopped to sin, now they're called righteous. We are called righteous the day we believe. Righteousness came to the whole world. Amen. The Bible brought righteousness to the whole world. Jesus Christ, the Bible, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Amen. And that's what we preach. We preach to sinners. Sinners, I want to tell you that today I preach unto you that there's forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Your sins has been paid for. If you believe it, that forgiveness that has happened 2,000 years ago is applied to your life today, and you can experience the manifestation of the forgiveness that has already been 2,000 years ago. Thank you that you've joined me. Know this, God loves you unconditionally all the time, and He never changes. God bless you.